KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
I'm Esther Dillard, and here's the latest from the Black Information Network. Israel is ordering 1 million civilians in northern Gaza to leave, while Hamas is telling them to ignore the order. Small teams of Israeli ground forces are reportedly inside Gaza as a full-scale ground assault is expected. Just over a dozen Americans in Israel are unaccounted for. President Biden spoke with their families during a virtual meeting today. The president assured the families that the U.S. is doing everything it can to bring them home. And Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan is the Republican nominee for Speaker of the House. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee was nominated during a closed-door meeting. He'll now have to earn at least 217 votes from his own party to win the Speaker's gavel during a vote on the House floor. And that's the latest. I'm Esther Dillard from the Black Information Network and BINnews.com.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles lets you choose from your fave four, including a sausage or egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, or medium hot coffee. Limited time only during breakfast hours. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price.
We boldly go where no man has gone before.
Boldly taking talk radio where it has never gone before. New vistas. New voices. New views. New visions. New victories. We're KBLA Talk 1580, and we're taking public media black. Black.
The views and opinions expressed and resources shared on this program are strictly informational and should not be substituted for medical advice or evaluation.
I told you I don't need to talk to nobody.
My daughter's losing weight. She sleeps all the time and has terrible moods.
My drinking ain't the problem. You nagging me is the problem.
Problems and pressure are at the backdrop of everyday life, impacting our physical, mental, and spiritual health. But where are the solutions? And who is concerned about the family? The Urban Family. Presenting Urban Family Focus, hosted by Reverend Gerald Smith, here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Good morning. Welcome, KBLA Talk Congregation. This is Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and you're listening to Urban Family Focus. We're that show that talks about those subjects that don't get talked about quite enough in black households. Things like addiction, mental illness, health and wellness, conflict resolution, financial literacy, and grief. If it affects the Urban Family, we bring attention to it and provide resources and answers to all your questions about it. So I want you to tell family and friends to download the KBLA 1580 app so they can listen anytime, anywhere. Our goal is to make sure all of you who get up early on a Saturday morning catch that worm of wisdom, opportunity, resources, and motivation in order to live your best life. Speaking of living your best life, our quote for the week is this: you need so much more than mental health or well-being in this area of discrimination, invisibility, and psychological warfare. You need a measurable web of protection for your mind. That comes from Rita Walker from The Unapologetic Guide to Black Mental Health. We've got a lot to talk about here on KBLA Talk 1580, and our topic this morning is the black family and mental health. Our guest, Dr. Sylvia Gates Carlisle. Dr. Sylvia Gates Carlisle is an internist, geriatrician, and HIV specialist who practices in South Central Los Angeles. She graduated from Brown University Medical School and trained at Los Angeles County USC Medical Center. Her goal is to change the processes to improve patient outcomes. Her passion is quality health care for all and the elimination of health care disparities. She's with us today representing the Association of Black Women Physicians, who's having their 42nd annual charity and scholarship benefit brunch, the theme of which is strength and unity through health and mental well-being. Dr. Carlisle, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
You know, we're going to get into talking about mental health in the black community and a few other, all the aspects of it. But before we do, tell our audience a little bit more about yourself, you know, how you got you know, your goal or your journey to medicine and why you're so passionate about getting these health disparities in line.
I was born in Portland, Oregon, and from a little child, I wanted to be a doctor. Julia was on TV, but I didn't want to be a nurse. I think I'm too bossy.
Okay.
And so I decided I was going to be a doctor. People say I said this in first and second grade. And I was blessed to have a very, very supportive family. And I stand on their shoulders, and a lot of what I do is based on the model and what they showed me how to live. Parents are important.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to talk about the benefit that your organization has coming up a little later, but we want to get started talking about how mental health and impacts our community. And one of the things that you mentioned to me prior to the show was that the Surgeon General was paying a lot of attention, decided to raise the alarm on loneliness and other aspects of mental health. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the Surgeon General's reasoning was for that?
Well, I think mental health is a part of wellness that's been ignored by the healthcare system for a long time. David Satcher, as Surgeon General, wrote a report on mental health in Black people in 2021. And so then we have COVID lockdown, which right. exacerbated all the disparities in this country. In addition to making healthcare worse, life expectancy worse, it really caused a crisis in mental health, particularly for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so traditionally, the strength of the Black community is the Black family.
Absolutely.
Family by blood and family by choice. And so for us to think about how we as a community strengthen ourselves and our community.
Right. You said family by blood, family by choice, and sometimes family by necessity.
Yes.
You know, but our structure has been what saves us. I always tell people, and people who listen to me regularly probably get tired of me saying it, you know, that if it wasn't for our families and our bond during that time was the Black church that got us through a lot of the things that we had to go through. If it wasn't for that bond in that Black church, we probably wouldn't have never made it through.
You're 100% right.
But I also say if it wasn't for the church, we wouldn't have been slaves in the first place. So it's kind of like a, you know, oxymoron there, but go ahead.
Well, I think understanding that one of our strengths as a community is that unlike the vigorous independence of the general narrative, mm-hmm. we are a collective community. And so that we are, when one is hurt, we're all hurt. And so now we have reached a crisis in this country where suicide among Black teens is twice that of white teens. If that's not a hair on fire, house on fire emergency that we as a community need to respond to, that's the far extreme of the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
But depression, trauma, toxic stress, that's, you know, the average.
Yes.
So trying to raise people's awareness so that we can talk, think, act, and fix.
Exactly, exactly. And we all know, those of us who are in the medical field and even those like myself who are in the addiction field, we know that trauma is the number one cause of pretty much everything that happens to us. And as a people, there's no one else has been through as much trauma as we have in this country. So I tell folk all the time, we all should be running around bat crazy with all we've had to go through. But because of our families, because of
spirituality
and the things that we had on our side, we were able to, as you have, excel to the top of every field that they allow us to enter into. We're always the best. We may not be the most, but we're always at the top of the rung. And I think that is what the reason why they do some of the things they do to us in our community is because of that subconscious fear of our superiority in more areas than they'd like us to be recognized for.
Well, you think about getting through slavery, that, you know, 90% of the Blacks living at that time mm-hmm. were enslaved, and yet that did not stop them from achieving even when they did not have opportunity. And once the doors were opened, they exceeded, as you mentioned, and that the doors have never been fully opened, but that's And the, we work it.
The story doesn't get told. We tell it all day on this radio station. But in general, the story does not get told that from day one, as you say, 90% of the blacks were enslaved. But there were always elite black folk in this country. There were always black folks with money. There were always black folks who were educated. They may have come from somewhere else at the time. But they were always here. But all that was kind of pushed to the side in the narrative of what we were supposed to do for them. In, under their thumb is what got perpetrated, and that's why we look at ourselves as being a little less than sometime, because we were taught that we were, and they told us that we were, and they passed laws to make sure we understood that we were.
And that when you talk about trauma, we now know that trauma has generational impact. You know, trauma harms individuals down to the gene and the cell level. And so if anyone's been traumatized, we own it.
Exactly.
And that even blacks who were wealthy and had privilege were still walking around black. And so for us to recognize and celebrate our strengths, mm-hmm. the fact that we as a community survived, but also think about ways to mitigate harm and protect the most vulnerable.
Absolutely. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Sylvia Gates Carlisle, the Black Family and Mental Health, when we come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
Healthy lives, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KVLA Talk 1580.
The Los Angeles Urban League helps African American and others in underserved communities achieve true social parity, economic self-reliance, and civil rights. For over 100 years, Los Angeles Urban League has ensured our communities have access to careers with living wages, opportunities to start and grow businesses, and clear pathways to personal and professional growth. Programs like BizCamp, Construction Career Academy, BA Business Ready, and BWARP. The Black Wealth Attainment and Retention Program are examples of the ongoing events designed to make our centennial mission to rebuild Black Wall Street right here in LA a reality. To sign up for our newsletter or to support the Los Angeles Urban League with your time, talent, and donations, visit laul.org. That's laul.org. The Los Angeles Urban League is a proud sponsor of Urban Family Focus Saturdays at 7 a.m. on KBLA Talk 1580.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Derek Jeter as the pinch hitter for your baseball team.
Jeter, you're in. We need a home run.
I'll give it a try. I've swung a bat once or twice.
That's out of here.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
Want my secret for finding fall style that can take you from home games to holiday get-togethers? Get to Kohl's. I just went and found myself the coziest sweaters for just $24.99 and jeans for my husband at $29.99. Plus, I saved 20% on some of my other faves and earned Kohl's cash. So if you want to find new faves for every fall day and everyday savings, you know where to go. Select styles. Offers end October 15th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
KBLA Talk 1580 stands for Unity and Healing. African Focus Incorporated is a nonprofit organization based in California that focuses on the growth and well-being of Africans all around the world. Their mission is to promote the well-being of people of African descent through knowledge and appreciation of one another by building a bridge of love and understanding. African Focus Incorporated strives for cultural, educational, and economic growth. They're the organization behind the African Family Induction Ceremony, African Goodwill Awards, African Focus Trailblazer Tours, African Dance Competition and Showcase Los Angeles, Family Day, Good News Windows Microfinance Project, and more. To volunteer, travel with African Focus, or to attend one of their community building events, please call 310-676-7730. That's 310-676-7300. Or visit AfricanFocus.org. This is a diaspora-wide community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith,
a spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And we're having a conversation with Dr. Carlisle this morning about mental health in the Black community. And we're going to talk about several aspects of mental health in the Black community. She's pointed me in the right direction of some topics that we want to cover. But before we get back to Dr. Carlisle, we have a caller on line one, and I believe that's one of her colleagues, Dr. Mercado. Are you here?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. While we have you and before we get too deep into our conversation, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you're going to contribute to this conversation this morning.
Yes, good morning. My name is Dr. Sheila Young Mercado, and I attended the Charles R. Drew University of Medicine and Science, UCLA Medical Education Program. And I'm currently the president-elect of the Association of Black Women Physicians. I think that my contribution to the conversation this morning is discussing the traumas that, you know, we experience in our family and the lack of insight into receiving help. For example, I lost my brother when I was 14. He was murdered, and I did not receive any counseling specifically for that until I got to medical school. Mm. So I think that there's, you know, in our community, at times we believe that counseling or, you know, processing the grief, we don't really see that as something where we would need a professional to help us through that process. And what I've realized is that professionals have certain tools that we may not have. And the great thing that we are trying to do right now is to bring more folks from our community to learn the skills, to get the degrees, so that we can provide the support, care, and guidance that is culturally appropriate, you know, where we don't, you know, put down prayer, for example, when we don't put down the fact that family is important, and that we recognize that the idea that someone who goes to a counselor is quote unquote crazy. And that's something that's a myth that we want to, you know, to debunk. Mm-hmm. And recognize, again, as you mentioned, trauma is at the center of so many of the addictions, because the addiction is simply a way to escape the pain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The things that you pointed out are the main reasons why we started doing this show, actually, is to try to get rid of that stigma that's associated with mental health and addiction, because we tend not to want to seek help because, you know, we're identifying ourselves as being something wrong with us, or that name that you mentioned, crazy. And I try to smooth that out for folks to let them know everybody's crazy. We all have an issue. There's nobody you know that doesn't have some form of anxiety or depression at some point in time in their life. So if we understand that it's an illness like all the other illnesses that you treat, then we're able to open up to it. And we do have, because we had no choice back in the day, church was everything to us. You know, preacher was the only counselor we had. We rely heavily on that still today, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we also have to understand, and a lot of pastors today are directing people in that way, that we have to understand that there are medical professionals out there that can help us, but we need to get beyond that tradition of keeping what stays in the house, and reach out and talk to people right. about the things that are going on. So, Dr. Carlisle, you had wanted to talk about some things. And one of the things that you pointed to, which kind of made me think a little bit because I never associated it with our topic, was loneliness. Tell us why you chose that as one of the things that we need to talk about this morning.
Well, I think the Surgeon General talked about the crisis of loneliness. And for many people, withdrawing is a response to trauma. Mm-hmm. And if we start thinking about adverse childhood experiences, almost two-thirds of people have had an adverse, horrible experience. And there's maybe 20% of the population has had three adverse childhood experiences. So if you think about personal experience of violence, abuse, or neglect, observing violence, abuse, or neglect, the stressors in the family, if there's instability in the household, either through mental illness or financial challenges or substance abuse. Any one of those can increase your risk for medical disease. Multiple increase your risk. And so, yes, we as a community traditionally have said what happens in the house stays in the house. But sometimes you need more resources to help heal. And instead of responding to stress by withdrawing or substances, by thinking of new ways to solve problems.
And along that same line, when I think of loneliness, I also think of solitude. And there's a difference there, slight, but there's a difference there. Can you tell our audience the difference between loneliness and solitude?
Some people are introverts and find refreshment being alone and without stimuli, as opposed to the extroverts. But there are also people who are alone because they're withdrawing. They feel lonely. They feel abandoned, unappreciated. And so that was what the Surgeon General was talking about. And that's really on a spectrum of mental health. Mm-hmm. That if you're alone because you love to be in nature and listen to the birds, that's different than
right. You're
alone because you've been abandoned, or you're alone because you're afraid you will act out. And so thinking about loneliness as loneliness and isolation, mm-hmm. and particularly who are the people who are frequently isolated and abandoned?
Right.
And that we as a community start looking for those people to engage and help, and that they recognize they want to do something about it.
And as we've discussed, you know, the effects are things like alcohol and drug abuse. Alzheimer's disease is, I understand that, you know, my mom and dad both had dementia. And a lot of this that what we're discussing today kind of motivates or makes that more, you know, come about more quickly than we would want, you know, by being under that stress and trauma and pressure that they had to endure during their
lifetime.
And
that's one thing that we as a society have not recognized, is the toxic effect of stress. Mm-hmm. And so if you're saying that, you know, stress worsens every medical condition.
Right.
Yes, it's unpleasant, but we as a community need to realize we're at risk because we're a community under attack. And so being proactive as far as things to help ourselves with our physical wellness and our mental wellness.
Dr. Mercado, do you have something you'd like to contribute?
Yes, one of the things that I also want to talk about is the fact that oftentimes we tell ourselves or there's this idea that if we're seeking help, that means that we're not strong enough. That means that, you know, we're weak. And I also want to debunk that as well. Sometimes in our community, we might say, if we're seeking help, then we're not relying on God enough, or that we're just not praying enough. We're not in our Bible enough. And when we go through the Bible, we see that folks help each other in so many different ways. And, you know, one of the things that I love is that, you know, we are, you know, our God loves us so much that we can come to Him with all of our brokenness and be okay. And that's not a bad thing. I think that we had to develop an attitude of, you know, not showing any weakness because of the situations that we were in. But now I think that it's a different time and that we can ask for support. And those of us who are being trained, those of us who are going through the training, those of us who've completed our training, you know, we are able to be there to support our community. And one of the issues that we know is that we just don't have enough. We don't have enough providers, right? We don't have enough folks who are there, and that's something that we are actively working on so that, you know, we can receive the help and support that we need and that it's not stigmatized. You know, one of the things that I like to tell people is that, you know, when we're looking at anxiety, depression, it's really an issue of what we call neurotransmitters. Now, I know that sounds like a big term, but I like to relate it to diabetes and insulin, right? So your body may not be able to process the insulin, and so people have to take insulin. The same way, our body might need certain hormones or neurotransmitters, and our body is able then to, you know, we're able to replace those. And so I just really, again, want to emphasize that, you know, we have the science, we have the knowledge, we have the skills, and, you know, we just really need more folks who can support. And that's why, you know, we are so passionate about supporting medical students and other folks in the allied health profession to, you know, provide the resources that we need once they, you know, receive the training that they need.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the Association of Black Women's Physicians are on the forefront of reaching out and inspiring young people, in particular young women, to want to be in that profession, because I know, having several friends in the profession, that there is a dire need for more African Americans and more minorities in general to enter the field, and to so we have options and we have more people that we can go to that look like us and have been through some of the experiences that we've had. Not that others can't give us the care that we need, but historically they haven't been giving it to us at a rate that helps us as much as we need to help.
And that is part of the structure. That is a structure and an intent of the system. Mm-hmm. That when the Flexner Report was written 100 years ago, 8 black medical schools closed.
Right.
And it's 30,000 black physicians were not trained. And so, yes, we have a deficit, a shortage of black physicians. And our goal is, with the opening of new black medical schools, to have more workforce. And that we, as Association of Black Women Physicians, through our charity benefit, with scholarships, through Sister to Sister, with mentoring, are trying to support a workforce that will help address the needs of the black community. Yes, other people can provide competent and culturally competent care, but the data shows that black patients do better with black doctors.
Right. I know I was fortunate to always have a black doctor way back in the day. I don't want to give away how much of a senior citizen I am, but there was a gentleman in L.A. named Dr. Bill Young, and he was fantastic. He had me, I had my first colonoscopy when I was 40 or 45, because even though the insurance companies didn't want you to wait until you were 50 or 55 or whatever, he did something to make sure that his patients got them early, because he said, as a black population, we need to take a look earlier. And now there's a big push to get them even earlier than that. You know, I have a friend who lost his son to colon cancer. He has this movement trying to get him to give colonoscopies from age 21 to 40, you know, for the younger people, because there's a big rise in that, just like there's a rise in suicide. So with black physicians, we do get a little more attention than normal.
And we also have to look at the data as far as black people's outcomes and the care they receive in the system. One of my professional focuses is on health care disparities, mm-hmm. and that black people receive 20% less services than whites in Medicare, commercial, and Medicaid nationwide.
Right.
And so you can't get care that you've paid for,
right.
And that affects outcomes. So that's why we want to increase the workforce of individuals. And then we also want to increase our patients and consumers being aware of what they need so they can advocate for themselves.
That's the big piece, and that's one of the things we here at Urban Family Focus try to do, is keep it on your mind, keep it out front. Let's not keep it in the background where it's always been. If you have an addiction issue, if you have a health issue, a lot of black folks historically, in particular our men, were walking around with pain and discomfort. And to be a man, they couldn't be a man out in public, so they were a man in the home. So they held that to themselves. They didn't tell anybody that they were feeling bad or they were sick. And when we found out, whatever it was had progressed to a point where there wasn't much help left for them. So that's one of the things that we try to bring things into the forefront and get people talking. This is a show designed to get people to talk about the issues that we're talking about today amongst ourselves. And start with your primary care physician, and they can direct you into the areas that you need to get the help that you need.
And you have no problem going to the accountant because you need expert help.
Absolutely.
So there should be no problem going to, for someone who can give expert help for your mind.
And we're going to dig a little deeper into this topic of mental health in our community when we come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
Disagree without disrespect.
Make your point and keep it pushing.
Let's do this. Listen and learn or talk and teach. Talking and listening around the clock. Around the clock. Around the clock. KVLA Talk 1580.
I'm Esther Dillard, and here's the latest from the Black Information Network. Israel is ordering 1 million civilians in northern Gaza to leave, while Hamas is telling them to ignore the order. Small teams of Israeli ground forces are reportedly inside Gaza as a full-scale ground assault is expected. Just over a dozen Americans in Israel are unaccounted for. President Biden spoke with their families during a virtual meeting today. The president assured the families that the U.S. is doing everything it can to bring them home. And Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan is the Republican nominee for Speaker of the House. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee was nominated during a closed-door meeting. He'll now have to earn at least 217 votes from his own party to win the Speaker's gavel during a vote on the House floor. And that's the latest. I'm Esther Dillard from the Black Information Network and BINnews.com.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 biggie bundles lets you choose from your fave four, including a sausage or egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, or medium hot coffee. Limited time only during breakfast hours. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price.
Follow the leader.
KBLA Talk 1580.
Follow the leader.
If you're not following KBLA Talk 1580 on all of our socials, then you're missing out. Download our app and find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and on the web at KBLA 1580.
That's right.
Again, you can find all of our socials at KBLA 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
By the way, if you miss any of our weekday shows in real time, you can always catch up by checking out the podcasts of your favorite shows at your leisure. At KBLA Talk 1580, we've got your black.
Got your black.
Follow the leader.
Oh my God.
Follow the leader.
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 Follow the leader. Follow the leader.
Follow the leader. Follow the leader.
At City National, we listen to you.
I want to expand my business and my legacy.
I want to set up the next generation for success.
I want to see my vision come to life.
I want to feel right at home. Your goals, passions, vision, future. We want to hear it and work alongside you to achieve it. Visit cmb.com to learn more. City National Bank, here for our clients and communities.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at GetMyFluShot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
No young person should ever have to worry about having a safe place to sleep at night or whether anyone cares about them.
But the reality is 1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year.
For over 50 years, Covenant House has been helping youth in crisis and giving them the support and tools they need to succeed in life. To learn more, go to covenanthouse.org today. Thank you for caring.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wander, metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
At Susan G. Komen, we believe that ending breast cancer needs all of us working together. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to honor the loved one you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Visit Komen.org and be a part of our Susan G. Komen community today.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580 joins you in standing for voting rights. When We All Vote is a leading national nonpartisan initiative on a mission to change the culture around voting and to increase participation in each and every election by helping to close the race and age gap. Created by Michelle Obama, When We All Vote brings together individuals, institutions, brands, and organizations to register new voters across the country and advance civic education for the entire family and voters of every age to build an informed and engaged electorate for today and generations to come. When We All Vote empowers their supporters and volunteers to take action through voting, advocating for their rights, and holding their elected officials accountable. Please visit whenweallvote.org to stand up for your rights, voting rights. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith.
A spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And we're having a conversation this morning with Dr. Sylvia Gates Carlisle. And on the hotline is Dr. Sheila McCardo, who's contributing to our conversation this morning. We're talking about the Black family and mental health. And we're going to switch reels and start talking about our young people and some of the issues that they're having. But before we do so, I need to remind all of you that Urban Family Focus is brought to you by the Los Angeles Urban League, who has been around for over 100 years, empowering African-Americans and other minorities to secure economic self-reliance, civil rights, by providing targeted social programs and advocating for issues that benefit our community. If you'd like to learn more about the Urban League's programs or donate to the Urban League, you can do so at laul.org, and you can also find them on Facebook and Twitter at LA Urban League. And if you want to join our conversation or have a question for our guests, you can call us at 800-920-1580. That's 800-920-1580. So, Dr. Carlisle and Dr. McCardo, you know, we talked earlier about young people and how many diseases are affecting us earlier in life, and that's includes mental illness, that includes some of the stress and strain that we're under. And you mentioned something to me that we call ACEs. Can you elaborate a little bit and let our audience know what that stands for and why it's so important?
There's recently been an understanding about adverse childhood events and how adverse childhood events not only harm the individual child as they're going through them, but they have long-term negative impacts on someone's physical and mental well-being. And so when you think about what is defined as adverse childhood events, we think about an exposure to violence, abuse, or neglect as an individual, you know, being the recipient of that, mm-hmm. being an observer of violence, abuse and neglect, living in an unstable home, and home instability can be characterized by poverty, interaction with the criminal justice system, substance abuse, mental illness. These all undermine a child's sense of security and safety. And when you think about a child or the recipient of this, it's fight or flight. Their stress hormones are up because they don't know what's going to happen. And so having one adverse childhood event, two and three, compounds not only physical but mental illness long term. And so right now talking about an awareness that they exist and then thinking about what we as individuals and a community can do to intervene.
One thing I like about this morning's program is we're having this subject, or we're talking about these things with two medical doctors, not psychiatrists, not psychologists. And it just makes me smile to know that there are medical doctors out there that are in tune to what's going on to the total community and have put in just as much emphasis on our mental health as they do on our physical well-being. So that I just want to thank both of you for having that attitude and letting people know that our doctors out there are caring about our mental health as well as our physical health, and not just caring about it, but doing something about it. Dr. Mercado, young people and some of the things that's going on with them. What's your take?
I think for young people right now, growing up in the age of social media, there is so much pressure, pressure to be perfect, pressure to have things. And there's a lot of misinformation. So, I talked a lot about misinformation during the pandemic, but there's misinformation about, how to handle certain situations. There's a lot of bad examples on social media. And so for our young people, we're privy to work with them directly, for example, through our sister-to-sister programs. These are students who are either in high school, college, medical school. And, what we see is that, they need role models. They need support. And bringing students to the event like we're having this coming Sunday on the 22nd, our charity benefit, showing them that there are people who've made it, who are successful, that helps to bring hope. A lot of our students are concerned about paying bills. A lot of our students face food insecurity. A lot of our students face homelessness. And these are, students who may be in our medical programs, in our pre-medical programs. And the question is, how do we expect a student to really do well, focus on their studies, when their basic needs are not being met, when their basic needs of health insurance are not being met? And so the root cause of many of the ACEs that we see, a lot of it is financial as well. Poverty, those are things that contribute to the abuse, neglect, and household dysfunction. And so that's something that we also have to highlight. And, one of the things that I love about what we're doing is that we're actually providing scholarships for medical students. We've had students, living in their cars just because it's so expensive in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And so, by providing scholarships, we help to alleviate some of those stressors that students experience. And then they're able to study, then they're able to focus, and then they are able to become providers to care for, the rest of our community.
Well, students and people that have it in their mind that they want to become medical professionals, as we said earlier, we need more and more of those students. But these effects that we're talking about, individuals who are homeless, individuals who may have been incarcerated, children in foster care, the welfare system, and as Dr. Carlisle mentioned, people who have been exposed to violence, those things happen to all of our children, not just those who are progressive in their education. So how do we, what do we do about the bigger picture? Because I know we all want our children to succeed and excel, and we all want them to go to college if possible. But the bigger piece of our community doesn't have that path, but they still have the same issues. So what do you say about...
I want to jump in there and say, sure, that, for a lot of these things that we're talking about, and I'll just be completely honest with you, my A score is 8. So for every type of issue that I should have had, or a lot of the risk factors, I shouldn't be where I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm only where I am first because of God, mm-hmm, but because of the people that He brought into my life, the people who sponsored me, the people who mentored me. And what I'm saying is, as a community, we need to step up and take those children, you know, bring them, support them, lift them up. And yes, teachers, mentors would provide money so that, you know, I could buy lunch, right? So I can study. So those are the specific things I'm talking about as far as our children can have the opportunity. You know, our children can excel in school if we step in and provide the resources that they need. So all of our students need that support. And when I say students, I mean elementary students. I'm an educator, so, mm-hmm. you know, I I speak about young people in those terms because that's the way that they, you know, normally come to me as students. And my teachers have been some of my greatest champions, you know, in my life. And so, and I think that's just something that we can look at. You know, what are the systems that have those touch points with students?
Got it.
Or with children, that's what I mean. So we have the church, we have educational systems. It doesn't have to be a, that they have to go to some special, you know, mental health program. It's not that. Who are the people already in our community who are working with young people to support them? How can we incorporate more health education into their primary educational curriculum so that they can know, and from a young age, you know, we can destigmatize, you know, receiving help or counseling.
Dr. Mercado,
so can I
get you to hold that point? We're going to have to move forward and take care of some business. But hold your point, and we'll be back here on KVLA Talk 1580. This is Reverend Gerald. You're listening to Urban Family Focus.
Healthy lives, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KVLA Talk 1580.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Derek Jeter as the pinch hitter for your baseball team.
Jeter, you're in. We need a home run.
I'll give it a try. I've swung a bat once or twice.
That's out of here.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
Want my secret for finding fall style that can take you from home games to holiday get-togethers? Get to Kohl's. I just went and found myself the coziest sweaters for just $24.99 and jeans for my husband at $29.99. Plus, I saved 20% on some of my other faves and earned Kohl's cash. So if you want to find new faves for every fall day and everyday savings, you know where to go. Select styles. Offers end October 15th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
The Green Foundation, key health influencer, empowering our Black communities through action. The Green Foundation advocates for affordable health care, accessibility, and knows the importance of culturally relatable health care. Regardless of income, we believe it is a right for optimum health. The Green Foundation has been at the forefront for 25 years, dedicated solely to promoting prevention through early detection, annual screenings, and nutrition. We know you because we are you. Our hand-holding approach supports you and your family to receive your right to be treated fairly and receiving quality health care services. We want you and your family to know COVID-19 was devastating to our families and to our wallet. We can build back better by understanding prevention, wearing your mask, washing your hands, social distancing, and understanding the impact of long COVID. Get the care you deserve. Take advantage of your privileges. Contact us, info@thegreenfoundation.net. info@thegreenfoundation.net.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Only 1 in 5 people with autism are employed, despite many having the skill set and desire to work.
Maybe it's because employers don't know what kind of jobs they can do. Like, what about a programmer?
That's a job for someone with autism.
How about a healthcare worker?
Yep, that is too. People with autism can do a lot of different jobs, but often get overlooked due to outdated stigmas. Introducing WIN by Autism Time speaks. We help businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
What about a ranch hand?
Yeah. To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/win.
This is KBLA Talk 1580, where hate meets a scholarly match.
Hey!
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And we're talking about mental health in our community. And we've kind of moved into a discussion about our youth. We all know that suicide amongst African Americans between the ages of 10 and 14 has increased by 233%. And that's a big flag, as Dr. Carlisle has already mentioned. So we want to get back to focusing on what can we do for these kids? What can we do for our young people who are experiencing ACEs?
Well, I think we as Black people have known in our spirit and our bones about the toxic effects of racism and stress creating chronic illness. And that 30 years ago, talking about toxic stress was in the broader audience felt to be a joke. Mm-hmm. But we now recognize that chronic stress, evidenced by racism, has long-standing effects on individuals' minds and bodies. And so one of the first people to bring a lot of data to this fore was our Black Surgeon General, who started this conversation about adverse childhood events. And we mentioned adverse childhood events, which we are common in the general population, but we are even more common in our community. So for us to recognize racism is toxic, for us to activate ourselves to heal ourselves, and also to be aware of who in our community needs more help.
So how does, you know, we know that the problem exists. You know, there are a lot of children out there that are traumatized in a lot of different ways. Some of them have good family support. Some of them have good church support. Some of them have mentors and people in their life. But there's a large population who's void of all of those things. So I guess my concern is, where are the facilities? Where are the places that people can connect to and go to deal with life if they've been experiencing some of these adverse childhood experiences and are showing the symptoms now that are resulting in the high suicide rates and high rates of incarceration and that kind of thing?
There's a focus in the medical community, particularly looking at adverse childhood events on children. Mm-hmm. And so many physicians are now screening kids and trying to make referrals. But I think we as a community, not only a professional community, mm-hmm. but we also need to think about kids grow up into adults so that there are individuals who experienced adverse childhood events who are now adults who may not recognize that the stress they experience can have permanent effects. And so thinking about how they are going to help heal themselves and to be aware to start thinking about ways of self-care, activating themselves for self-care. It's not selfishness.
Right.
Activating themselves to be engaged in the community and looking for resources to help. And many physicians will try to help if they're aware of the issue, but we as a community have always taken care of ourselves. And so going, you know, looking in the community for social and friends and other individuals so to help you overcome and help you deal with the effects of stress.
You know, I asked the question about, you know, where can the general population go to get this help? And there aren't a lot of facilities in our community, in particular in the inner city. You know, there's Augustus Hawkins, which is a part of Martin Luther King Hospital. And I know there's been, you know, because of what Mark Gregory Thomas did and some other people, this place has been totally remodeled. And their mental illness facility is state of the art. I've been there. I've taken patients there. So that's one place where we can get help. You know, and I want to just let people know that that's a place we can get help. And there are other resources out there for us who are feeling a certain way. There's an organization called Black Mental Wellness. there's racism and anti-racism in America, which is another organization that focuses on making sure that we get the help that we need and as far as the disparities go. And there's also one that I like is called the Safe Black Space. All of these things can be gotten to online, and I encourage people to, if you have a young child that's going through some things, or if you're going through some things, there are organizations out there. They don't get talked about a lot, but if you get on your computer or on your phone and do a little search, you'll come up with a lot of online places as well as physical entities that can give you the help that you need, and that's what I want. I want us to be able to have some place to go to address these conditions.
And if you're thinking about, yes, is your high blood pressure out of control? It's not. And that addressing stress mm-hmm. may help improve your blood pressure. Addressing stress may help improve your diabetes and other medical conditions. And we know that stress is toxic and worsens many medical diseases. So for people to have some awareness of what they're feeling and experiencing.
Right. We have a caller, Florence, on line two. Florence, if you have a comment or question, we'll take it. But we only have a few minutes left, so I need you to be real concise and do it in about 30 to 60 seconds.
Okay, I think I can do that. Good morning and thank you. I just wanted to throw in there, I teach kids in justice-involved settings, and my struggle is most of the mental health providers are not culturally responsive. Disproportionately, the kids who need the service are African-American males and females, and most of the providers are Hispanic or white. And it's caused a major issue in terms of really not healing children and having them released and returned back into the system.
Well, we're aware of what you're saying, and that takes us full circle. You know, we're talking with our doctors this morning from the Association of Black Women Physicians, who are trying to get more people into the field, so we have more African Americans that we can go to and relate to and get those services. But you're right back at Dr. Carlo's hot point, which is disparities.
And we know that there are disparities in access and disparities in service. And so we have to start with self-care as a radical act that we are going to be, that the knight in shining armor isn't coming to save us. And so the things that have supported our community, we need to be more deliberate and intentional about as far as community, expanding family and self-care and care for each other.
Thank you for that, Florence, and for bringing that to our attention, and thank you for the work that you're doing in that field to help our young people. Dr. Mercado, we only have a couple of minutes left, so in 60 seconds or so, give us your last comment about the affair that's coming up and how people can support your organization.
Great. Thank you so much. And again, based on the comment that the caller just provided, this is why we do the work that we do, because we need to increase the number of healthcare providers for our people. Right now, you know, we make up about 14-15% of the general population, yet we are only 5% of the physician workforce in this country. And so one of the things I also want to note is that your internal medicine physician, your family medicine physician, you know, they can assist you with mental health, emotional health. You know, I actually prefer the term emotional support, especially for our community, because a lot of the things that happen, it's not just mental, it's emotional. And that affects our mental health. And so what we are doing is helping to provide medical student scholarships to help our medical students graduate. Students graduate with over 250, 350, $450,000 in debt. And oftentimes that will encourage students to choose professions that pay more. So by providing scholarships, by us stepping in and supporting our students, then, you know, we can have more students coming back to our community. So we are having an event. It's our charity and scholarship benefit, the 42nd annual event, Saturday, October 27th at 11 a.m. at the City Club, downtown L.A. We'll be presenting medical students with almost $70,000 in scholarships. And we'll be surpassing $1 million in total scholarships that we've been able to provide.
Thank you so much, Dr. McCardle. Thank you so much. We're about to run out of time, and I want to make sure Dr. Carlisle gets her last word. She's got about 30 seconds.
We have, as a community, have survived by taking care of each other and taking care of ourselves. And those are the values that we want to encourage people with: self-care and care for others.
I want to thank both of you for being with us this morning, talking about Black mental health and in particular our children and what we need to do. We're going to continue this conversation, and I'll look forward to Dr. Carlisle having you back at some point so we can dig a little deeper into the kids. Urban Family Focus is out.